Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Killer Crime Podcast. My name is Martha.
And I'm Georgia.
And guys, we made the top charts on Apple Podcasts this week!
Woo!
Yay! So if you guys like our podcast, remember to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And also don't forget to follow us on Instagram. So today I have a case for you guys that is mind-boggling. This is truly one of those cases where someone has simply just vanished. So this is the case of Ryan Stuka. Before I jump in, I just want to say that Ryan's mom, Heather Stuka, has just been one of the strongest women I have ever had the pleasure of chatting with. I messaged her on Facebook to clarify a few points about this case, and she was so open to chatting. Ryan's parents go back to Sun Peaks every single month to search for him, and they're constantly keeping everyone updated. So I'd love if you guys could listen to this podcast all the way through and make sure you spread the word about Ryan's disappearance. And if you want any updates, there's a Facebook group about him, so you can go and follow that. So Ryan's family described him as being a very lovely guy. His mom also joked that he was very sarcastic with his sisters and loved to tease them. He was just a normal 20-year-old trying to figure out where he wanted to go in life. So his friends also said that whenever he came into the room, there were just always smiles and laughs. And it also appeared that Ryan was kind of a homebody. So when he sat down with his mom for lunch and said he might want to experience being somewhere else, his mom was so excited for him to go out and see other places. Ryan was a very sporty guy, and he chose Sun Peaks, British Columbia. It was an incredible place for him to be. He wanted to move there as there was a ski resort and he could work for the winter season with one of his childhood friends. And he also gave him the opportunity to snowboard. So his parents were 100% on board because he was young and it would be something fun to do. Now Ryan was very excited about going and left on December 1st of 2017. So in Sun Peaks, Ryan worked as a lifty at the Sun Peaks ski resort. So he ran the ski lift that people like went up and down on. So he would snowboard in the morning and then work from about 11:30 to 7:30 p.m.
Oh my God, that sounds like a perfect life for a 20-year-old, honestly.
I know, it's absolutely, he could like sleep in, go to work, do his thing, you know, like yeah. Just party at night, in the morning do his snowboarding, just absolutely perfect. So he didn't speak much with his parents while he was in Sun Peaks. So he gave sort of brief updates, but you know, you're 20 years old and you don't want to talk to your mom too often. Like when I was off traveling, I always tried my best to communicate with people, but you know, you're off for the first time by yourself and you feel so free and happy.
Oh yeah, for sure. You want to feel like you're all independent, you know, not that you need your family anymore.
Exactly, 100%. So he was living in a house with five other people. So there was James, who was his childhood friend, a couple, and two other girls. And from what I understood, he mainly hung out with his roommates. So on February 16th, 2018, Ryan and his roomies went to a bar and grill. There was a silent disco there that night, and that's where you put like your headphones on and dance, but when you take your headphones off, you can't hear the music. So it was around 1 a.m. when they left this bar and grill. So when they were heading back, a bus, I think it was like a Greyhound bus that his mom said, had picked them up because it was freezing cold that night. Us Canadians know it gets freezing, especially at nighttime in the dead of winter. Like I was saying, the bus had picked them up and was able to drive them to this party that they were going to. So I couldn't find this out. I'm not sure if anyone really knows, but at some point they had decided they were going to head over to a party or some type of gathering. So whether this was pre-planned before they went to the bar and grill or they were on the bus home and decided they wanted to go, I'm not sure, but they headed over to this party. Now his mom explained that there was usually a few houses open for parties and there was no real structure for them. People just sort of came and went, so it would be more like gatherings than an actual house party. At the time that Ryan and his friends were at this party gathering thing, there were about 9 or 10 people. And it's really important to note that these people were locals, like people that Ryan worked with. So they all knew each other. There was no strangers at this party. So they just sort of sat in the couch and were chatting and hanging out. After about 30 to 45 minutes at this party, his roommates and friend said that they were leaving. Now, the roommate said that they and Ryan left the party around 2 to 2:10 a.m. So once hearing his roommates were leaving, like they announced that they were leaving, Ryan stood up and it appeared to his friends that he was about to put on his coat and walk towards the door. On some accounts, I've heard that he actually put on his coat. Some accounts, I've heard that he was about to put on his coat. I think it's pretty much a blur for everybody. But his two roommates and one friend were walking along and they realized that Ryan wasn't behind them. It's also important to note that the walk from the party to Ryan's place wasn't far at all. Like, I'm talking a less than 10-minute walk, super close by. So the friends just assumed he'd been held up or talking to a girl.
Or was there, like, another party he could have gone to in a nearby house or something?
So I actually asked Ryan's mom that question because she did mention that there were lots of parties that would go on at one time. And she said that the police reported that there were no other parties happening that night. So that
we know of.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So maybe he went to the bathroom quick or like decided last minute to stay there. The friends didn't really want to wait around in the cold. And like I said before, Canada gets freezing. So they just decided to go home and they assumed that Ryan would follow shortly after. Now the friends wake up the next day and Ryan still isn't there. Now, like I said before, this is like a tight-knit community. Sun Peaks is not like a big city where there's tons of people just like walking around. Everybody pretty much knew each other and they would crash on each other's couches all the time there. So there were only around 600 people that actually lived in Sun Peaks. But what's also interesting is that there's about 900 non-resident property owners. So, you know, people who are renting out their properties to those who want to go to, you know, go there to like ski and all that stuff. So it wasn't until Ryan didn't show up for a shift that day that people began to get worried. His manager called Ryan's roommate to say he didn't show up, and Ryan had barely ever missed work in his life, and he was never late. So immediately alarm bells went off. He wasn't replying to his phone, and nobody had seen him or heard from him. Another coworker, after finishing her shift, also reported that Ryan hadn't shown up for his shift. So on February 17th, 2018, at approximately 8:47 p.m., the RCMP received a report that Ryan was missing.
Is that like Canada's Missing Persons Service or something, the RCMP?
So the RCMP stands for the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. So just think of the officers in red who ride horses. but nowadays they just sort of look like normal cops who wear blue. But yes, they were the people in red who rode horses. So his parents were also texted, letting them know that Ryan never came home that night and never showed up for his shift to work. They also let his parents know that the RCMP is now involved. So I forgot to mention, it was the roommate that had texted Ryan's parents. So his parents did not know how to process this information. It was such shocking news to them. So they decided right away to make a 9-hour drive over to help search for Ryan. It's so sad because when they were talking about this drive, they said it was just horrible and his dad had to keep pulling over to catch his breath because they just assumed that they were gonna show up and receive really bad news about Ryan. Because sometimes police will wait to tell you the bad news so you can actually make it over there. Yeah. You know, so they were just expecting to show up and find out that something really bad had happened to Ryan. Of course, something really bad did happen, but it's just heartbreaking hearing about this drive that they had to take. So I'm actually very impressed with the roommates here. So they hadn't known Ryan, other than his childhood friend, they hadn't known Ryan for too long, but they were so cooperative and they were the ones to contact everybody about Ryan. you know, when I made this, so for those of you coming from our TikTok account, I made a video about Ryan and I got lots of comments of people saying that the roommates were very suspicious, but they were incredibly cooperative. And I think it was just an unfortunate decision to leave their friend, but you know, there's no evidence against them and they're innocent in my eyes. That's just
they're 20 years old. Like, that's not a crazy thing to do.
Exactly. You know? Like, Georgia and I've spoken about this before. We've both been literally left at clubs in like cities, you know? Yeah. So, you know, for them to just leave their friends in a tight knit community where everybody knows each other, they could not have seen anything going wrong here. So it really breaks my heart.
No way.
Yeah, it breaks my heart when they're blamed. And I think it's incredibly unfair when there's literally no evidence against them. So people at the party were spoken to, of course, by investigators to see if anyone had talked to him about his plans, to see if he was going anywhere else. But nobody was ever able to say that they even saw Ryan leaving. Now, police had tracked any path or potential areas that he may have gone after the party. So while obviously nobody knew what had happened, I think people were banking on the fact that he'd fallen over and they would find him somewhere within walking distance of that party. Now, the party was on one side of an area with trees and Ryan's house was on the other side.
Wait, so was this area of trees like a big wooded area then?
Well, I actually spoke to his mom about this, and she mentioned that Ryan's house was a sight line away from the party, other than a few trees, creeks, obviously the snow in the winter. So in summer, you could totally just cross through that area and be home within like 2 minutes. But she said that because Ryan was there in the winter and he hadn't actually been there that long, it was only like 3 months at this point, he wouldn't have known that. So initially people thought, hey, maybe he did actually know that and try to take that shortcut and cut across through that area. But it was such deep snow and, you know, after days of searching, nothing was found. Now, Ryan's mom mentioned that there were two ways that Ryan could get home from the party to his house. But as far as anybody knew, he only ever took the one route home, which is the route that his friends took that night. But with the amount of alcohol in his system, and as well as MDMA in his system, so his mom did confirm that he had taken MDMA that night, he may have decided to take another route home. There were no street lights except for sensor lights on some houses, so he really wouldn't have been able to see that much. And the other route home leads to heavily forested areas that had been groomed for skiing. So maybe he sort of tried to get through that way home. But like we said before, that was not his typical route home. It's important to note as well that there were people still coming and going from the party even after Ryan had left. So if something had happened at that party to him, you sort of think they would just shut the whole party down.
Oh yeah, for sure.
This is why, again, like when people talk about like the roommates and people at the party, I can't see that happening. I genuinely think that he left. That's just my opinion. So any tip that came through had been thoroughly investigated, but none of them led to anything except one that may have moved his last sighting from the party to an area closer to Sun Peaks Village. Okay, so this next part of this story, I'm going to try my best to explain. But if you have any questions, just message us on Instagram and I'll clarify everything for you. So this witness was heading along the road, I'm pretty sure by foot, and he was coming up and he remembers seeing someone that matched the description of Ryan. So this witness was on his phone at the time and he was on a phone call that was happening around 1:55 a.m. Now this sighting of Ryan was about 20 minutes from the party. So the witness took a screenshot of this phone call to prove that, you know, this phone call was happening at 1:55 a.m. and he showed Ryan's mom, and at first it didn't fit the timeline because remember I said that the roommates had originally said they left around 2 a.m. Yeah. to 2:10 a.m. And if this walk is about 20 minutes from the party, no way could he have been there at 1:55 a.m. So one of the 9 people at the party texts a message to one of Ryan's roommates who thought they were with him. So remember how I said that there were the 2 roommates and the 1 friend that left and they thought Ryan had left with them but realized that he wasn't. So they receive a text message saying that one of the people who was still at the party were gonna go to their house, so Ryan's house, to party at their place. And that was at 1:36 a.m. So that text message was sent at 1:36 a.m. So if Ryan had actually made his way over to the village, so that was about a 20-minute walk from this party to the village, that sighting would have fit that timeline 100%, because remember, Ryan was seen by that guy at 1:55 a.m. The reason that his mom thinks that, you know, he definitely left at 1:36 a.m. is because why would you text somebody who's next to you at a party saying that you're going to go to their house?
Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, they would have had to have left at 1:36 or before even at 1:36 a.m. for that person to text them saying, hey, we're going to join you in a minute, you know?
Yeah.
But nothing, unfortunately, came of that. It did give Ryan's parents a new place to search because there was a bridge in that area. And it also gave them another possible direction that he could have gone. But there's no proof or leads that he was anywhere else. And, you know, people always ask the parents, why do you still go back to Sun Peaks to search? But they have nothing else to go on. There's been no other sighting of him. So they continue to go up every month. They stop because of the virus, but they go up every month and search different parts of Sun Peaks.
Oh, bless them.
Now, no articles of clothing were found. There was no, like, footprints. They even brought tracker dogs. They couldn't find anything. And there was no evidence that he'd left Sun Peaks and no evidence that he's still in Sun Peaks. He seriously just vanished. So let's get into theories. So the most likely theory is that he was drunk and high and he just wandered off, fallen over somewhere, and he'll be found. Whether, you know, but at this point, it's most likely his body that will be found. But that's like the most likely theory. And added to that, you know, somebody mentioned in the Peaks and Valleys documentary that there are tons of wild animals around Sun Peaks and believes that if his body had been left sort of nearby, it may have been dragged away by an animal. But you sort of think clothing or something would have had to show up. But, you know, even this guy that said that admits that it's just a speculation. You know, there was no blood or anything. So that just seems sort of weird to me. Another popular theory is that he was maybe hit by a driver, like walking along, somebody driving along hit him, and maybe they panicked and just threw his body in the car and moved into another location. Another popular theory is that he maybe overdosed or some sort of accident happened at the party and the people he was with either covered it up or hit his body. But this is so unlikely in my eyes, because surely after 2.5 years, somebody would come forward. And also, like we said before, everybody who had seen him at the party was incredibly cooperative. If they had something to hide, usually you're sort of back up, or back off, I meant. And also, they kept letting people come into that party. Like we said before, if something had happened to Ryan in that house, you sort of think they would just close the door and not let anybody else through. So these are all unproven theories, but all possible.
So you know how he did MDMA at the party? Like, so clearly he took, I don't know if he took drugs, if that was like the first time he'd taken drugs or he'd started in Sun Peaks, whatever. Is it possible that, you know, he could have had a bad experience with like a drug dealer? Maybe he like owed someone money for drugs, and you know it's very like sketchy, that whole underworld of drugs. Maybe he owed someone money or disrespected a drug dealer in some way, you know, and they like sorted him out, you know, like got rid of him somehow. Or like maybe he's involved in human trafficking. Maybe someone came and picked him up as he was walking back to his house.
That was another theory, that it had something to do with the drugs that he was taking.
It's just so weird to me that, like, nothing of his has been found. Like, not a single clothing item. That to me seems like he's, like, someone has taken him somewhere, you know?
That's what a lot of people think, because it's been 2.5 years and his parents go back every single month to look for him. And they have torn that place apart trying to find him. And they can't find a single thing. And remember, yeah. he did go missing when there was a ton of snow, and they were really hoping that by the time spring rolled around, when all the snows melted, his body would just kind of show up, but it didn't. So yeah. we've had two seasons of that now, and his body still isn't anywhere. So that's why people really think that his body's not in Sun Peaks anymore.
But. No, that's the thing with like drugs, you know, they say it messes up your whole like thermoregulatory system. So, you know, even if it's really cold outside, you'd get really, really hot. And then, you know, he'd start taking his clothes off and stuff. But the fact that like not even a t-shirt's been found. Yeah, it's really, really sus.
There was actually his phone pinged in an area that was about an hour outside of Sun Peaks. However, that, you know, that's interesting. But, I even when I'm on Facebook, even though I'm in Oakville, it'll say I'm in Burlington. So I feel like sometimes phone companies, like, it's not very accurate. So they don't, that could be something, but I don't know. I think they just sort of ruled that out because it's very possible that it was just, you know.
I don't know. With phones, it's different, isn't it? Like, the whole location settings, because it's right, sometimes it says I'm in Brighton and I'm like a good hour and a half away from Brighton, mm-hmm. but with the actual phone signals of like mobile, when you actually text someone and it's not like data or iMessage or anything, I don't know if it's the same in Canada. I assume it's the same. I don't know if phones work the same probably. In Canada as
yeah I know yeah thing. Who knows,
but it works like you send a message and it bounces between three of the nearest pylons, so you'll always be able to see where a person is because their location will be in between these three pylons, and that's really accurate here anyway.
That makes it more accurate than here. I think here, from what I've understood, it just pings off one cell tower, but that could be within such a wide radius that you just don't know, you know? But it's just interesting how, you know, it's an hour away. So that is the story of Ryan Stuka. He is still missing to this day. If anybody has any information, please contact Crime Stoppers. They accept tips anonymously, but you can also contact his mom through the Ryan Stuka Facebook group. We hope you enjoyed today's case. Not that you can enjoy a case about a guy who leaves a party and goes missing, but remember to be loud, be fierce, and don't talk to killers. Bye, guys!